Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to say to you, first of all, happy birthday, Hope City. Listen, if you have been part of Hope City since launch, since Hope City launched in 2020, will you just stand up real fast? Look at you! Look at you! Come on! I want to talk. Did you have something you have to say?
No, I just love it. You guys are blessing my socks off today. I love it. I do have one quick housekeeping thing, okay?
Yes.
We have Kona Ice after this service, free Kona Ice. To get that, at the back of the door, we're going to have a ticket for you. And so make sure you pick up a ticket at the back door, because only first service people are going to be served Kona Ice right after this service. And then after 11:30, our people then will be served for that. So
there you go.
So little housekeeping.
So if you want Kona Ice, make sure you get your
It'll
ticket.
It'll change your life,
okay?
Too. Just sugar up like crazy. All right.
If you're here for the first time today, I want you to know that Pastor Jason and myself, we are the co-lead pastors at Hope City. We lead in conjunction with each other, and God called us to launch Hope City in 2020, 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we launched Hope City in a room. As we launched that day, this room was filled with a haze of smoke in the air, and it wasn't from a fog machine.
And it wasn't from the pot fields.
Okay, that...
I'm just saying.
The haze of smoke was because we had just experienced in our valley one of the most devastating fires in history. As the Alameda fires had swept through and destroyed so many lives, so many homes, and Hope City launched literally in the ashes of that week. And honestly, the days prior to launching Hope City were some of the most terrifying in this valley's history. And as we launched that day, as we gathered here that day, we felt this sense of like uncertainty, fear, and resolve, right? And I feel like this past week has brought back those feelings of uncertainty and fear and resolve. It was said a few days ago that as pastors, we should expect our churches to be very full today as people have witnessed some unspeakable events this week. As people have watched another person be assassinated on a social media platform. As another school shooting has broken out. And yet, as they said, you expect people to show up. They said, it's going to be like the week after 9/11, where people are just wondering, like, what's God doing? What's going on? Well, I was in church the Sunday after 9/11, and it was somber. And people were questioning, and people had no idea, like, even how to move forward. And let me tell you something, today feels different than that. Yes, people are here. Maybe you're here for the very first time because you recognize, like, listen, somebody was assassinated for their faith this week, and I need to know, like, what this faith is all about. There's a different feeling in this room as people are saying, oh, no, 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 we're not going to be quiet about who we believe in. We're not going to be quiet about our Lord and Savior, because people need hope more than ever before. And this week has served yet another reminder as to why we need each other. And why we need Hope City. Because in the midst of violence and hatred, we hold this truth to be self-evident. In Romans 8:28, it says this, And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God doesn't cause the hatred. He doesn't cause the violence. But for those of us who love God and are walking according to the calling in our life, he will use unspeakable events for our good if we let him. We hold that truth to be self-evident. God's heart is grieved by the hatred that is penetrating society. It's grieved. But for those who have chosen to love God and follow Jesus, he will navigate our broken hearts, and good will come. That's his promise. Hope City exists to do two things and to do them with excellence. The mission of Hope City is to love God and love people. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, it says this: you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. This is the purpose. This is the mission. This is why Hope City exists, to love God and love people. And over the next couple of minutes, Pastor Jason and I are going to break this down for you and what this looks like. First of all, love God. This statement from Matthew, put that verse back up for me. This statement from Matthew tells me that this made an impact on all of those who heard. You know why? Because it wasn't just said in the Gospel of Matthew. It was also repeated in Mark and in Luke. That means many people who heard Jesus' words said this back over. Like, this was important to him. This is what he wants us to do. Loving God means living a life in constant connection with God. It also means this: recognizing God's love for us and seeing the ways that love is shown on a daily basis. Here's what's so beautiful about God, the God I serve, the God that you hopefully serve. And if you don't, you'll have an opportunity in just a couple moments to choose to serve him. But the God I serve doesn't love me because I loved him first. That's not how he works. He loved me first. He loved you first. I am fully loved by God, and so are you. In 1 John chapter 4, says this: God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. All that who declare that Jesus is the Son of God, I lost my place, sorry. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. I want you to understand, because I am confident in God's love for me, I can love him fully in return. It is not the other way around. Because I am confident of God's love for me, I can love him fully in return.
And the word that always catches me is all. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Listen, he doesn't want just 90%. He wants 100%. We love God, and the second point is we love people. And listen, when we talk about loving God and loving people, those are not just happy little slogans. We want to put it to work. We want to love God. We want to take action because love is a verb. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 22, 39 through 40, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. One word that you see in here in one statement, you love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the problem we've got. A lot of people in our world today, they don't love themselves. In fact, they don't even know who they are. They don't know who they are. They're lost. They're broken, especially this younger generation. Friends, if you say you're a Christ follower, but you don't love people, you're not following Christ. A Christ follower loves people. And here's what I want to say. One word that needs to get out of our vocabulary as believers is hate. I hate that person. I hate that person. What you're saying is you wish that they would be dead. And how many times have I heard believers say, I hate that person? There's even people that say that about Charlie Kirk. They don't even know him. I hate that person. You can disagree with the person, but it does not give anyone a right to hate a person. If you are a Christ follower, you have to love. That's what Jesus says. In fact, in John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We can disagree, but we can still love. That's what we're missing, guys. If anything, this week and the last couple of months have shown us is our country is on a collision course. Something has changed in our country when we can't disagree without killing somebody. Right? And listen, you might feel uncomfortable because you're going, man, we don't talk about politics in church. This is not about politics. Here's what I want. The enemy has stolen that because what it is these are moral issues that the enemy has labeled as political. And the reality of it is you're never going to solve things until you get back to what the Bible has to say about these issues. Right? It's what the Bible has to say. People that consider they don't know their identity. They don't believe that there's man and woman. There's 55 different genders. People are confused, friends. They're lost. These are not political issues. They're moral issues. And they're only going to be solved right here. So stop saying, well, we don't talk about political issues in church. This is not about politics. This is about what God's word has said about how we are to live our lives. And here's the problem, friends. When we don't live according to these principles, our lives are broken. We're lost. Our world needs love more than ever before. Every single loss of life matters in our country. I want to say it again. We can never get desensitized to this. Every single life matters. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what creed you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your history is. Every life matters. And we cannot get desensitized. Watching the girl be stabbed down in Charlotte, watching Charlie Kirk be assassinated for his faith on TV where we all saw it. Not one life doesn't matter. I don't care if you agree with him or disagree with him. Listen, we can never be at a point where we say it's okay that somebody is killed. It's okay that somebody is assassinated. There was a report that came out the other day that said 55% of people that responded to this survey said it would be okay to assassinate somebody for their beliefs in the United States. That is wrong. And we're going to call it wrong. Murder is murder. And here's what I want to challenge us with. When we look at what happened to Charlie Kirk this week, and you might go, why are we talking about that? You're right. There's so many people that have experienced death, but Charlie is the one that died because of his faith. Don't believe it was not a political assassination. It was an assassination because of his faith. And it was demonic. The enemy has been allowed to rise up and the church has been asleep, and it's time we wake up. Wow. Loving people means that we are going to stand up for what's right. All of our politics are a result of what our faith is. Faith is the bedrock of our lives. What we're seeing in America is we're seeing a nation that has wandered so far away from God that they don't have a moral bedrock anymore. Don't think you can change politics and that changes a person. Jesus changes a person. That's what changes a person. That's what gives somebody a new foundation. And you know what? I agree. Church is not the place to talk about politics. But it's definitely the place to talk about what's in God's word and what he tells us morally. We must get back to loving people well. That's what we're called to do. What blows me away is that the younger generation is under attack. If you look at every single shooting in the last months, 3, 4, 5 months, it's people under 25 years old. And what I'm saying right now, we're going to put our stake in the sand and say, we want this generation. We are going to go after this generation so that they get saved and they experience God. And what the enemy did was he silenced a missionary to the generation, the millennials and the Generation Z, and thousands of young men and thousands of young women were coming to Jesus, and I believe that's going to go to millions now because the enemy overplayed his hand. That's what it's all about, guys. That's why this loss feels so great, because it was he was the hope. And not he was the hope, Jesus is the hope, but he was the mouthpiece for Jesus to this generation. We must love this generation well and lead them back to Jesus. How do we love well? You have to remember the battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is not against flesh. We do not battle each other. When we try to battle, and I've told you guys this so many times, when we battle each other, we lose the war. Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities for the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. What we have seen this week is an eruption of evil right in front of our faces. This is demonic. It's an assignment of the enemy to go after people. And what I don't know about you, but what I'm saying is, not on my watch. Not on my watch. You might say, what can I do, Pastor Jason? You can love people well. We fight this battle on our knees. We need to begin to pray like we never have before. There are souls in the balance. We're not called to be activists. We're called to love well. We're called to get on our knees. And we're called to share about Jesus when we have an opportunity. We're called to boldly tell people about this Savior. Because listen, our preaching and our arguing and trying to convince people that their way is wrong is never going to work as much as Jesus when he comes on the scene and he transforms a heart. That's what changes everything. And then we allow Jesus to do the work. We allow Jesus to do the work. So when I talk about boldly stand up, anytime you have an opportunity to share the gospel, do it. Share your testimony. Invite people here. Let's fill heaven. Let's make heaven crowded. Let's not stand for hatred. Let's love well. Let's love well. And I want to end this with 1 Corinthians 13:1-8, and then we're done. If I could speak, and this is the love chapter, this is what love looks like. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of wrong. It does not rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and it endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Let's give Jesus a hand. I want to challenge us in the next couple of weeks to remember the Kirk family in prayer. His wife, his daughter, his son. You might disagree with them, but they are hurting. And I just want us to remember that. Today, if you're in this room and you say, Pastor Jason, I've never given my life to Jesus, but I need to. Maybe you're away from him. The Bible says that it's so simple to take Jesus as your Savior. It's to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus, I surrender. And if you're here today, like, listen, what we're seeing, this is not about right now. It's about eternity. And when you make that decision to hand your life over to Jesus, it changes everything. So across this room, will you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus, and that's you, will you slip up your hand right now? Across this room, I need to come back to Jesus. Hands up all over this place. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Today is your day. Today's your day. Across this room, listen, we celebrate. Thank you. Hands are still going up. Maybe you've been away from Jesus, and today you'd say, I need to come back home. I need to come back home. If that's you, lift up your hand right now. You need to give your life to Jesus.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.